Boa noite a todos. No, the sermon won't be in Portuguese. Don't worry. I'll get Tanya. Where's my cousin Tanya? I'll get her to interpret. Yes, that is my cousin. If some of you don't know, that is my cousin. Cousin Tanya, hello. That's the smart one. I'm the pretty one. We already discussed it. Don't worry. She knows. she knows. Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the local church. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for this family that is called Promise of Life. We thank you, Lord. We are so grateful. We are so thankful to be part of this family. Father, when one hurts, we hurt. When one is in joy, we are all in joy. And Father, I just thank you for this divine connection in our pastor, a divine connection in our local church. And Father, I just thank you for the opportunity and the honor of sharing your word and bringing forth this word that you've put on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. This is a different way than I'm usually used to, but I just want to thank Pastor Craig and Pastor Jenny, my mom and my dad, my spiritual parents, for the opportunity. And I want to start by saying, God has called us all to do something.
Amen.
Everybody has something to do for the kingdom.
Yes.
Whether it's fivefold, whether it's parenting, whether it's a regular job. Maybe you're retired. Hey, you're retired. Great. Enjoy. Put your feet up. You don't have to wake up to the alarm clock. Whatever it is, yeah. God has called everyone to do something. Whatever season you're in, you have a purpose in that season. Amen? Yeah. And we all need to be moving towards something. Even if you're not fully in where God's called you to be, you're making movement. Now is the time to make movement.
Yes,
if you're not making movement, if things are not working out, check where you need to make that adjustment and start making movement.
That's
amen?
Right.
And we hear it all the time, but time is short.
Yeah.
If you look at what's going around, if you look at the news, if you look at different things going on in society, how dark it's getting, time is short. So more than now, we need to step it up.
Yeah.
Whatever we're doing, we just need to step it up. And that means, you know, in order to do that, in order to do it successfully,
yeah.
You need a pastor.
Yes.
You need a local church.
Yeah.
And you need a church family. And it's not just to have one. You need to be actually doing something in your local church.
Right.
It's okay to be a member of something and you have perks and privileges, but if you're not using it,
yeah.
What's the point?
That's right. That's right.
So it's the same thing. And everybody wants to have a connection. Everybody wants to feel like they belong. Regardless of your age, regardless of your race, your background, everybody wants to feel part of something, whether you're a little kid or an older kid. Look at kids in the playground. If you see kids, they're vying for everybody's attention. They're looking to be part of something. So everybody is looking to be part of something, and that's where your local church comes in. You have the opportunity to be part of something, where you belong, where you fit in. Amen. And, you know, I think of Canada's Wonderland. For years, I've bought, many of you, seasons passes. You know, you buy the seasons pass to Wonderland. Why? Because I'm cheap. No, I'm not cheap. I'm frugal. I'm Portuguese. I'm frugal. And so, you know, it's cheaper to buy the seasons pass because then you can go as many times as you want. And you get perks. You get to bring friends at a discount. You get front-of-the-line access, and that comes in handy when it's really hot and all the losers that didn't pay, they're waiting in line. But you're up at the front, and you're like, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya, and you're going up to the front. You get discounts on food. You get discounts at the gift shop. You get member-only days where all the others don't get to go, but you get to go. You get access before everybody else doesn't get access. So you get to go to those popular rides before the lineups are... You get where I'm going with this? Okay. There's perks. Some of you, okay, you don't go to Wonderland. Golf. I worked with this guy who had a golf membership. Oh, my gosh. It was just golf, golf, golf. And what that membership did, and it gave him, like, instructors. It gave him access to private things and special events. And it was all about the perks.
Yeah.
And it's great to have all the perks. We all want perks. Amen? Anybody want a perk? We call that favor, right? We call that favor. And we all want that. And so in the spiritual realm, we all want to be and we need to be rightly connected.
That's right.
When we're rightly connected, that is our perk. Yeah. That is our privilege, and that will give you access to things that other people don't have. And it will make you stand out that other people don't have it. Amen? Many of you know this and you've heard of this, maybe you don't, but God sets you in a church. Whether you pick this or you think you didn't pick it, God sets you in a church. If you've called this church home, God sets you in this church because it feels like home. However you got here, however you chose it, God sets you here. And maybe, you know, for years I didn't see it like that. I picked church for different reasons. I picked it because it was close to my home, or maybe it was a short service, you know, a 1 hour service, you know, there's service at 8:30, 10:30, and then, you know, whatever. It's a short service, 1 hour, I'm in there, I'm out, do my due, say, Jesus, hey, how are you? Listen to the worship, the sermonette, and go home, right? And some people pick a church, some people do it based on, you know, casual dress, I get to wear my jeans, or the music, or their family members go there, for whatever reason, but God sets us in a church. He's the one that places it. And that is the place where the plan of God will unfold for your life. When you are, if you're in another church and things are not moving, things are not progressing, you might want to take a glance and figure out, why is it not working? You might not be in the right place. And you might serve and it might be good, but until you get into that place where God has called you, that's when things start to unfold. That's where the plan of God starts to become a reality. And there's movement in your life. You're flourishing. There's increase. And if there's a call on your life, many of you sitting here, there's a call on your life. And you don't know yet. And maybe others know and they see it on you. But as you progress, as you move forward, that call starts to come up. Amen. Think of Miss Willie. Miss Willie, we all know. You were a teacher. We all could see it. But then when that comes up, man, because you were in the right place, rightly connected, and your man of God saw that. Praise God. Praise God. The definition of divine connection means joined or linked together. The definition of relationship is a connection, association, or involvement. A connection between person by blood or marriage, an emotional or other connection between people. And the word impartation means the act of imparting something, such as knowledge or wisdom. And it has to do with giving and receiving of spiritual gifts. There's a transference from our man of God or our woman of God to us. And primarily we see it as the laying on of hands, but you're going to see something happens just by being around your man of God. Something happens just by being in this room. Whether you feel it or not, something is happening in this atmosphere. Why? Because of the anointing on this place, because of the mantle on this place, because of what our pastor has imparted, whether he's here or not, there's an impartation going into you. Amen. Something comes into you to strengthen you. Something comes in to encourage you, to fortify you. Whatever it is you're struggling with that week, or maybe a longer period of time, just something comes in to give you that, oh, okay, I can do it. I can do it. I can make it till Sunday. No problem. I can make it. And answers come. Anybody ever sitting in here? Answers come. He's not preaching or talking about anything you're going through, but all of a sudden the answer comes. A tweak comes. An instruction comes. Whatever it is, just sitting there under that connection, under that impartation, in that atmosphere, something happens. That's right. Amen. If you, and over time, you're not going to look the same.
That's right.
Thank God. Yeah. I don't want to look the same. Physically, inside, I don't want to look the same. I want people to see change. I remember actually a little while ago, somebody that was here in the very beginning, and I won't mention her name, but somebody said to me, when you first came into the church, man, you walked in with like a cloud on your head, like a dark cloud. You were like, rrr. And I'm like, yeah, because you don't know what I went through. But she said, now, oh my gosh, when you come in the church, it's like, wow. You know, and that's God. That's what the anointing does. You won't look the same. And things get into you. Things go into you. little by little, Sunday by Sunday, as you start applying the word, as you start putting into practice what you're hearing, things are changing you. Things are chipping away. The mindsets, whatever it is, God is working on you, whether you realize it or not. Things that used to bother you, don't bother you. Things that you used to struggle with, you don't struggle with anymore. For years, I would get so angry. When I live in not the best apartment area. And I remember for years, every time I'd come home and I would see like 8, 9, 10 cop cars because the popo's there and they're doing something in there. Has nothing to do with me, okay? Had nothing to do with me. But I'd come home and that would get me angry because I'm like, oh, man, look at these. Oh, man, I'm never going to get out of here. I'm never going to get out of here. You're a bad mom because you can't afford something better. Look at where you have your kids. And all this would hit me. And that would affect me for days. And I would feel that walking in, you know, getting by the cops and going up to my apartment, whatever it was, I would feel the pressure of that. And I said, Lord, you're getting me out of here. Lord, you're getting me out of here. And probably about 3 months ago, I came home and I actually texted Reverend Kim. I came home and it was at night. There was like 8 cop cars, flashing lights. And I remember driving in, sat in my car, and I laughed. I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm getting out of here. Oh my gosh, I'm getting out of here. What was that? Did I make an adjustment? Did Pastor lay hands on me? No. Over time, that began to come into me. I'm getting out of here. God's provided a home. No, I'm a good mom. Do you understand? Over time, these things change. And in the last course that we did, demonology course, Pastor was teaching on the first night, and he was talking about, if any of you were there, he was talking about the fall of Lucifer. And he was going through the intricacies of everything that happened, how Lucifer fell. But even in how Lucifer fell, God still showed mercy. There was a point where God still was trying to show mercy. Because remember, Lucifer was a good guy before he became a bad guy. And he was trying to show mercy to Lucifer. He was trying to see if there was a possibility that it could be turned. And I remember listening to that, and it hit me. It hit me deep, deep inside about a revelation about the love of God. And although I'm a minister, although all this stuff, for years I have struggled with the idea and the concept of God loving me. It was a very difficult thing to accept. Oh, you know God loves you. And I'm like, oh, and that would hurt. It would sometimes be painful to hear God loves you. And in my mind, I'm thinking, if God loves me, why do all these things happen to me? Why did so-and-so leave? And I would struggle. But in one moment, being rightly connected, in a demonology course, Pastor wasn't even talking about the love of God. He wasn't talking about the mercy of God. He was talking about Lucifer. But the revelation of the love of God hit me. I got it. In a moment, I got it. And I'm talking years and years of that struggle, gone. I know God loves me. Deep down inside, I know He loves me. It's deep. It's in me. It's deep. I know He does. Just from being around my man of God. It matters where you go to church. It matters where you are. When there's a service, when there's a course, when your man of God is up here, do whatever you can to be up here. Because you don't know when an answer is coming. You don't know when a tweak is coming. You don't know if He's going to call your name. No pressure. No pressure. But I'm just saying, it matters. And as time is short, it matters that we stay and get more connected. Amen. And we all have a part to bring.
That's right.
We all have a part. Everybody has a part. You know, somebody takes care of the kids. Somebody does the coffee. Whatever it is, we all have a part. And one is not here and one is not here. We're all like this. Family is like this. Yeah. Amen. We all have a part to play. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. Oh, God is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the local church, Lord. Thank you for the local church. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start at verse 14. Even so, the body is made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to that body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We all have a part. We all have something to bring to the local church. This is a two-way relationship. It's not you coming and getting. If you're a relationship with somebody, that's two people. There's a relationship. If it's just one person doing it, pretty soon it's not going to be a relationship. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be done with. Many of you know that. That's all. That's all I'll say about that. And, you know, just like a natural family has a role to play. There's the parents and the kids. The parents protect. The parents provide. The parents give instruction. The kids help take out the garbage that they don't like to do. They help unload the dishwasher. They take the dog for a walk. Whatever it is, everybody has a role to play in that family. And it's the same in the local church. You know, over the years, I've asked many people here, as I've got to fellowship with many people, how did you know this was your local church? How did you know Promise of Life was your church? And the answers have always kind of been the same. When I walked in, I felt like I was home. Yeah. When I walked in, I felt like it was family. You know, the worship started, and oh, I just felt the presence of God. Or when Pastor was preaching, he was preaching right at me. It was like nobody was in the church. It was just for me or just what I needed. And that's how they knew. And this connection, this relationship to your pastor and your local church is a rescue for your life. Whether you realize it or not, at some point in time, there will be a rescue for you.
That's right.
And a rescue may not look like what you think, yeah, or what you want, yeah, or what you expect. It's going to be what's best for you. Yeah. Just like as a parent, you do what's best for your kid, even though they may not like it. But in the end, what is produced is, yeah, the best outcome for them. Yeah.
That's right.
And it's the same as the local church.
Yeah.
Your rescue will be specific to what you need.
Amen.
Your rescue, you know, it's going to come through your children. It's going to come through finances. It's going to come through relationships, and especially the way you think. We need to be rescued in the way we think. Even if we've been here for 2 years, 2 minutes, 2 months, we all need to renew the way we think, because we don't always think right. If we did, wouldn't be preaching it over and over, how to be led by the Spirit. Because we need to change the way we think.
That's right.
And as you sit for some time, as you begin to take in the word, giftings, callings, they're going to start to rise to the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually gifts or anointings that, you know, you have a talent in or a strength in, those things are going to rise. And your pastor, your man of God, the leadership, they're going to start to notice those things.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's going to help you run your race to the fullest.
Amen.
With the greatest joy and the greatest success. It's great to run a race. Anybody ever run races? It's great. But it's great to win.
Yes.
You know, nobody wants to be a loser. I'm sorry. Nobody wants to be a loser. We want to win. And that's what this is about. You know, I was just actually talking to Reverend Greg about it, but it is 14 years almost to the day where I first came to this church. So in January 2010, I had just gone through a divorce, and you could say I was pretty broken. I was pretty devastated. I had been away from church for some time, but I knew I needed to go to church. I had these three little boys, and they were 12, 9, and 2. Sorry, Isaiah, he was still in training pants when we came here. He is not anymore, praise God, but he's good, he's good. The Lord helped him. He's good. But he was, you know, he'd come up. We were that way, and he'd like listening to the worship. He'd be strumming with Reverend Jim, and we'd be in the car. And it's like, Mom, can you please put on High Places? Oh, my Lord, yes, okay. So, like, we were like this little family, and we were going through some major changes. And at that time, I had relocated from one province to another, found an apartment, and thankfully, through my cousin, the smart cousin, Tanya, she opened a door for me where I got a temporary contract at her work. And on the last week, I remember it was a Wednesday, we were in the lunchroom, and she said to me, "You remember my friends Craig and Jenny?" And I went, "Yeah." And I had known of this Craig and Jenny for years. We had mutual friends in the similar circles, but we never met. For some reason, we never met. And I kind of know why, but I'll keep that private. But anyway, who I was married to might not have made the best impression. So that's why I think maybe God protected me from not meeting them. But anyway, she said, "You remember my friends Craig and Jenny?" And I said, "Yeah." She's like, "Well, they're moving into a building. They've been in a house and they're getting a building. And Sunday's the first day they're going to be in their building." And immediately the Holy Ghost said, "You need to go." Remember, I hadn't been to church in a long time, probably about a year, year and a half. Not that I was backslidden, I was just hurt. Yeah. You know, ever been in a place where you're hurt, you're broken, you've gone through something devastating? It's not that you've turned your back on God, but going to that place was just hard. Because that's where all I've known, that's all my kids knew. I was in ministry. I lost my credentials. I lost my ability to pastor, to preach, because I was now divorced. Scarlet letter, loser, you can't preach anymore. So that was the last place that I really wanted to go. But when my cousin said, "You know, they're starting a church," immediately the Holy Ghost said, "You need to go." And I went. And so that next Sunday, which was the 20th, Sunday, March 20th, that day changed my life forever. I walked into this church, and think about all the moving pieces that God had to do to get me there. It's phenomenal. And that time, my life seemed very dark, obviously. I was dealing with a broken marriage, my dreams were gone. Do you understand? Somebody told me, "I can't preach anymore. You can't pastor anymore." And I'm thinking in my mind, that's it. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? The life I thought I was building was gone. But in one moment, God changed that for me. My obedience changed the course of my life. God is telling you things at different times, and that will change the course of your life if you obey it. What good is it for him to be telling you things and leading you if you don't obey it? So obey. And your future depends on it. Your kids' future depends on it. Amen. And so I went to church. I sat in the back row. I don't think I filled out a visitor card. I don't remember who I talked to. I think I met Marjorie Ann. She greeted me. I met Miss Marjorie Ann. But I don't remember the worship. Like, I remember nothing. I don't even remember what Pastor preached. I'm sorry, Pastor, but I don't even remember what you preached. I just remember sitting in the back row and hearing the worship and God's presence just overwhelming me. And I wept like a baby. I just wept. And during that time, he said to me, "You are home." Hallelujah. What choice words. You are home. The home that I knew was gone. The home that I knew was broken. But here he was giving me a home and giving me a family. My family was broken, but here he was giving me a family. And this church loved us. Loved us, especially me. They loved me. They loved my kids. They loved my kids. You guys came around and just loved on my children. Isaiah loved Miss Verley. Like, nobody could touch Miss Verley's chair. Nobody could touch Miss Verley's desk. Like, Isaiah was so... Isaiah loved Jessica. Jessica was his girlfriend, you know. Like, this church just came around. Do you understand? That's a divine connection. It matters where you go to church. It matters who you're connected to. It's vital. Amen. The next Sunday, I didn't meet them that Sunday, but the next Sunday I met them. And I went up to the front. And, you know, here it was, really, in essence, these two complete strangers. Yeah, I'd heard of them, but they were strangers to me. And we were that way. And Pastor was here. Pastor Jenny was here. And I said, "Hi, I'm Sandy, Tanya's cousin." "Yes, Tanya's cousin." And they each took my hand. And something supernatural happened. I'm telling you, this love for this couple, this love for now my pastors came into me, and I could feel that same love. These were strangers. How do you get that? Like, I love Chantel. Yes, I do. I love you. That's something supernatural. I love Nigel. Like, I didn't know Nigel, but I love this brother. He's my brother. Do you understand? Something happens in this natural, in this divine connection. Something supernatural happens. Amen. You get brothers and sisters. If you don't have that, look around. Ask God to help you. Like, get a sense. This is your family. I had no family here, folks. I had no parents. I had no siblings. I had nobody here. This family became my family. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the local church. Amen. You know, you need to get in your core that this is your local church. Yes. That these are your pastors. Yes. You need to get that in the deep of you, because it matters. It will affect the direction of your life, because it matters who you run your race with. You know, we don't want our kids hanging out with bad seeds. We don't. Because if we start seeing them hang around with bad seeds, we're cutting that off. You know, you're not hanging out with them. Yeah. It's the same thing. It matters who you run your race with. Right. If it's for your kids, it applies to you too. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil will fight you the most on this. Yes. He is after your divine connection. Oh, yes. He is after your connection to your pastor, not just to your church, but especially to your pastor. Yeah. And how does he do that? Offense. Something he says, maybe the way he said something, you didn't like it. Maybe he's talking too much about certain thing. It's enough about that. That's what the devil is after, your connection to your pastor. And he's going to fight that for you, fight that. You know, a few years after being in church, the devil started working through me through well-meaning friends, good intention, Christian friends. Christian friends. How long you been at that church? Do they know you're a pastor? Do they know that you pastor churches? Do they know that you preach? Like, what are you doing? What do you mean you're not doing this? What do you mean you're not doing that? And what happens? Thoughts start coming. And it wasn't like I was offended with my pastor, but those thoughts start affecting you when you see yourself in the seat. And I see a minister getting to do something that I know I'm qualified for. And what wasn't a thought before becomes a thought now. You know what I mean? You're going to have to protect it. And it wasn't a jealousy thing. I felt rejected. When my pastor didn't pick me and I knew I was qualified, I can do that. I can do announcements. Why does he pick me to do announcements? I'm being real. It was like, that's what the devil would work on me. And he will work on what bugs you. That's what bugs me. And he will work with what bugs you. Oh, I can do that. I can be a leader there. Oh, I can do that. I've done that on the outside. Why can't I do that in the church? Because maybe that's not where you're called at this time. And when you're called to do that, your pastor will let you know. Or the leaders under him, they'll let you know. Amen? Amen. You know, I never really considered leaving. I never felt that I could, because it wasn't just about me. It was about my children. It was about my children's future. Amen? And your connection to your church will affect not just you, but your children. And your children's children. Every decision I make is filtered through the local church. Every decision, every job offer I get, is this going to help me move towards my connection or away from my connection? Every relationship that maybe is entertained, is this going to bring me to my connection or away from my connection? Everything filters through the local church. If it doesn't, you need to maybe have an evaluation and check that connection. Amen? I want to talk about a story that you're familiar with. If you want to turn to the book of Ruth. Let's turn to the book of Ruth. I hope this is okay, but this is what the Lord put on my heart. And I believe, and he put it on my heart, but he's been giving me more revelation and revelation into this and how really crucial and how vital this is to my success, how crucial it is to the mantle, how crucial it is to the glory center, and all that God has put on our pastor's heart. It matters how we respond. It's not just about coming to church. It's not just about serving, and it is that. It's not just about giving, and it is that. It's about our attitude and how we come. You can come here, and let me tell you, it's easy to serve. And some of you are thinking, no, it's not. But it is. It's easy to serve. You can come in here, oh, it's easy to give. But your attitude? God is looking at your attitude. God is looking at what you're thinking. You may not say something, but if you're thinking it, I'll be sharing that in a second, but it matters what you're thinking. And your heart towards your pastor, your heart towards the local church matters.
That's right.
Amen. So the book of Ruth, this is an incredible story of redemption. It's a story of devastation. It's a story of loss, tragedy. But God brings full restoration for these women. He probably brings restoration to these women in a way that they weren't even thinking.
That's right. Yeah.
Probably in a way that they even dreamed of.
Yeah.
But just when, probably when she thinks her life is over, God comes on the scene.
Yes.
And he starts moving puzzle pieces around.
Yes.
Amen. Isn't that just like God?
Yes.
Oh, just when you think it's over, God comes on the scene and does something spectacular. Amen. And, you know, they needed some restoration. Anybody need restoration in any area? This is a story for you. And what God did for these women, he can do for you. Take it. Pastor says, when there's a word, when there's something from the pulpit, if it applies, take it. So tonight, take it. Whatever you need, take it. It's yours. And God is about restoration. You know, God is, you know, even when you feel like things aren't turning, even when you feel like things are hopeless, even when you feel like giving up, like this is never going to work, this is never going to turn, don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. Those dreams that God has put on your heart, don't quit.
Yeah.
Those dreams that you have in your heart that you haven't even uttered a word to another human being, don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. God is about to do a supernatural thing.
Amen.
God is about to bring restoration and turn things around for you.
Amen.
Amen. He will restore you. He will restore your life in a way. I never dreamed today that this would be happening. I never dreamed. But God, he restored everything and he made it so good.
Hallelujah.
He made it so good.
Amen.
Like I know Reverend Greg now. I didn't know Greggy before. I know Greggy now. I know he bugs you, but I'm not bugging you today. But I know Greggy. You know what I mean? Like, he added so much to my life, so much joy, so much excitement, so much hope, so much to live for, so many people that love me, that I love. He gave me so much. He restored way more. Yeah, I lost 300 pounds. That's a husband. I lost 300 pounds, but I gained so much more. Thank God for losing. I remember there was one Sunday in the beginning when I was here and I was sitting in the front row that way. But I was sitting in the front row that way with Pastor Jenny. And I turned to her in the service and I said, oh my God, thank God he left me. And she looked at me and we both just started laughing. Because thank God. Why? Because the anointing broke the yoke.
Amen.
That's what this place will do. The anointing will break the yoke. The anointing will break the yoke.
Amen.
Come to this place. Every time the doors are open, come to this place.
Amen.
Whether it be for prayer, whether it be for service, whatever it is, come. The anointing will break the yoke.
Amen.
It may not happen in this service. It may not happen in the next service. But over time, that anointing is chipping away at those things, those addictions, those behaviors, that way of thinking, that thing that you need healed. The anointing is breaking the yoke.
Amen.
It matters where you go. It matters when you come.
Yeah.
If you come.
Yeah.
Pastor's not here. It's not a vacation day from church. Hello? It's not a vacation day. If you hear pastor's not here and you don't come, shame on you. Sorry, Dad. You can hit me later, Dad. But shame. We need to bring our supply. Remember, this is a two-way relationship. It's not about you just coming in your seat and looking plump and being warm or cold, because some of you are always cold in here. But it's about it's about bringing your supply. You don't know what word you're going to say to somebody. You don't know when somebody walks by you and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's going to be like, you need to say something to that person. And it's what they needed to hear. Maybe they were going to leave the church. I had somebody come tell me a couple months ago. They said, I was struggling. I was thinking about leaving the church. I said, really? But your words, you always encourage me. You always say hi. You always say hi to me. A hi. How hard is a hi? But you don't know if that hi, you're not hi. Sorry, not hi. Let me clarify, because Pastor always makes fun of where I live, okay? You'll understand why. But your high to somebody may be the only high they've had that week. Maybe they're ignored. When they're not in this place, they're ignored. They don't matter. People dismiss them. And your high could be healing to that very person. It matters that you bring your supply to this church. It matters. Like, I joke around with people a lot. That's me. I joke around with people. But that helps people. Yeah. They feel good. They're like, oh, they see me come. They're like, oh, God. Like, they start going away because they know I'm about to poke fun, Tyrone. They know I'm about to poke fun, Tyrone. They know. Or I'll see one of my girls. I'm like, hey, what's up? That's all it takes. But it does something to somebody. It makes them feel important. It makes them feel like part of the family. Can you imagine being in your home and not talking to a member of your family for a week, for 2 weeks? Do you know what that's going to do? That's going to create tension. Yeah. It's going to create a wedge. And what was small is now like this. So bringing your supply, being part of your church is not just a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing. It matters how you come to church, not just that you come. And I know pastors have been saying this, like, don't leave right after service, but there is something to that. There really is something to that. People need to feel valued, need to feel loved, and it doesn't take much. It doesn't. It really does. Like, I appreciate you. Thank you. You look so nice. Like, it doesn't take much to make somebody feel appreciated and valued. Amen. Sorry, let's go back to Ruth. Sorry. All right. So Ruth, this is a story about Ruth and Orpah, not Oprah. Not Oprah. Do not confuse that little demon. Sorry, that woman. Ruth and Orpah. This was these Moab women. These two women had married two sons of Abimelech, and their mother-in-law was Naomi. And they all had become widowed. All three of them had become widowed. And, you know, Naomi, the mother-in-law, she tells these women, you know, you need to go. You need to go back to your families. You need to go and, you know, get remarried, because obviously there's nothing here. Like, even if I try to have a kid, it's not going to happen. You know, they're telling these women to go. And Orpah decides to go. But Naomi decides to stay. Sorry, Ruth decides to stay. And, you know, Naomi pleads with her to go, but she says, no, I'm staying. I'm not going. Turn with me to Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth pleads with Naomi to stay and to accompany her, but there's something about her connection to her mother-in-law that caused her to be faithful and loyal. Yeah. Even beyond the duty. She was no longer bound to this woman. Her husband's dead. There's obviously no obligation anymore, but there was something inside of her that kept that connection, that wanted to keep that connection. Yeah. She didn't allow the death of her husband to disengage her from her connection. Amen. Nothing changed. Amen. The purpose didn't change. Nothing changed. Yeah. And Naomi hears about God's faithfulness, so she wants to return back to Judah, and she decides to return there. Naomi finds it difficult to accept the fact that Ruth won't go. She can't understand why, but has nothing to offer these women, but She relents and lets her. And we read in verse 16, it says, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me.'" And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And we see in the next chapter, Ruth decides to go, and she's instructed to go into Boaz's field. And you know the story, she's picking up leftover grains behind the field. And Boaz, we find out, is a relative to Naomi. And Boaz one day notices this woman. And when he notices, he's determined, he instructs the people of his field to let her, you know, don't worry, she's safe, let her do that, she's protected. If she needs water, go drink water from here, go help yourself. And Ruth is really overwhelmed with this. And she says, she even asks him, "Why are you giving me such favor?" And he explains, "You know, I've been told about your story." Yeah. "I've been told about your connection." Yeah. Yeah. "I've been told about all that you've done for Naomi," mm-hmm, "when you didn't have to." That's right. "All that you've done. You left what you knew and you came to a people that you didn't even know." And he spoke a blessing over her. He thanked her. And she thanked him for such favor. And as a result, she was given good grains. She didn't have to go picking. And you know the story that Naomi instructs her at one point to go near him. And at the right time, she finds favor. And we find out that he is a kinsman redeemer. And a kinsman redeemer, Pastor Jenny has preached on this, but it's a male relative whose responsibility for a relative who is in trouble, yeah, who is in danger, or in need of vindication. And it's the closest blood relative who willingly regains the possessions of something or someone by paying the redemption price. He is the one that can buy back the land that they lost and restore it back to their family. And as a result, he buys all of Naomi's property and redeems Ruth as his wife. And he marries her. They have a son, Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David. And you know, over the years, this story has been depicted as a love story. And it is that. It is a love story to some extent. But you know, here is this woman. You know, she's working in a field. She's trying to provide for herself, for her mother-in-law. She probably looks very discombobulated in that field, working away. Messy hair, maybe it's tied up, and she would seem the least likely candidate to be standing out that would attract a husband, yet let alone look like wife potential. And here comes Boaz and says, "Whoa, who is this woman?" You know, she had the no-frills look. Does anybody know what the no-frills look is? Let me explain it. The no-frills... She had the no-frills look. You know, ladies, where you put your hair up in a ponytail, or maybe a baseball cap, you're wearing jogging pants, you got a scruffy coat, and you go to no-frills. That's the no-frills look. She had the no-frills look. Not no-frills. No-frills. Amen. And it is this story of love. However, it's been used to encourage all the single ladies, wait for your Boaz. Okay. But it's more than that. This story reveals a divine connection. Yes. This story is her vow to her husband went beyond death. Yeah. Her vow was to stay loyal to her mother-in-law. She is faithful to accompanying her mother-in-law back, where God is leading them back to where God was providing for his people. When everything looked dark, hopeless, God starts setting up the stage for God to restore back all that was gone from them. Amen. You know, we need to follow that leading. God is endeavoring to get many of us, yeah, to restoration. Yeah. Many. Amen. But there's things you need to be obedient to actually step into, yeah, to get to that place. Yeah. It's not just about, oh God, you know, I need this and restore this. Yes, but I can guarantee if you're asking God of something, he's giving you instruction to do.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing it is a different story. And the faster you do it, the faster that plan comes to pass. Amen. Amen. Stop fighting it.
Yeah.
Whatever God's asked you to do, stop fighting it. If he's asked you to serve, serve. If he's asked you to give, give. Whatever it is, I can guarantee God has asked each one of you to do something.
Yes.
Could be pray more, attend more, whatever it is. God is asking you to do something. And it's just to get you into the plan of God for your life.
Amen.
To run your race to the fullest.
Yes.
Amen. And just like God was setting up the stage, you know, these women lost everything. They lost their husbands. They lost from one moment, they had everything to nothing. And it was restored full circle back again. Amen. Let your connection to your pastor be that. Let that connection to your local church be that guiding force. It will propel you into the plan of God for your life. If you are not rightly connected, things are going to be hindered. Things are going to be delayed. And things won't even happen until you make some movement. And it begins with, like I know I've been talking about, but it begins with the attitude. If somebody in this church, a leader, asks you to do something, do it. Because it's coming from your pastor.
Yes,
if you're told to sit in that chair and you say, no, but I want to sit in that chair, wrong attitude.
Yeah.
That is not an usher being bossy.
No.
That is an usher being directed by his pastor saying, it helps my anointing when this is full.
Yes. Yeah.
It helps my anointing when I see these seats full.
Yeah.
So when it's empty here, that hurts him. And I want to do everything to be in agreement with my pastor. I want everything to be in full swing, what have you, so that his anointing can be propelled. He can speak words. He can, whatever it is, I want to be in agreement with that, not disagreement.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry, I don't know why I said that, but her loyalty, her faithfulness propelled her into God's resources. How many of you need God's resources?
Amen.
However that looks like it. It propelled her to all that she lost and more.
Yeah.
It propelled her to finances. Anybody need finances?
Yeah.
It propelled her into property.
Yes.
Come on now.
It gave her a husband.
Yes.
And the dream of a family, a son.
Yeah. Amen.
Who came to the line, who was to be the line of David. Like, you can't make this up. This was a divine connection being set up, being just everything being put into place. That's what God does. And if you know, the Lord didn't tell Ruth to do any of this. This came from deep within. If there's not a deep within longing for you to be connected to your church and your local pastor, you need to ask God to help you for that. Something needs to be that you don't want to miss. Anything that happens. It's not a flippant obligation, but it's something on deep inside of you. It's more than just loyalty. It's in your core, in your spirit.
Yeah.
I got to be there.
Yeah.
Your connection to your local church, it needs to be deep in your spirit, a driving force. Have you ever just had a week? Anybody ever just have a week, or is it just me? You just had a week. Okay, good. It's the job. It's your dog. It's the car. It's kids. Lack of sleep, Jesus. It's different life pressures, and you've just had a week. And then Wednesday rolls around, or Sunday rolls around, and you're like, I'm tired. I've had a week. The Lord understands I've had a week. And the last thing I want to do, can I be real, is go to church.
Yeah.
Yes, even me, I know. The smart one, the pretty one, even thinks, I don't want to go to church. This is like the only day I can sleep in. But something, I'm telling you, something deep inside of me says, I need to get to church. Because I don't know if today's going to be the day where I get my answer. I don't know if today's going to be the day where that anointing breaks the yoke, or that answer I need, that tweak I need, that strategy I need for my business is going to come. I don't want to miss that opportunity.
Yeah.
You got to look at church. The word is our answer, but the church, that anointing, it is an answer for you.
Yes.
It is a life rescue for you.
Yes.
Amen. From this story, we see from beginning to end, God restoring from devastation to that. And maybe, you're believing God for things. Maybe you're waiting for God for a long time for certain things. Maybe you're believing God for a house. We're believing God for a house. And it's been long. We're still in the projects, and we're still believing God for a house, but it's going to come. I know that it's going to come. Maybe you're believing God for a spouse, and it seems like it's going to have never happened. Have you seen what's out there? Have you seen what's out there? It's not good. So don't give up. Don't give up. Stay connected to your local church. Stay connected to your pastor. You know, recently I was talking to the Lord about this, and I said, Lord, like, seriously, when's he coming? I'm just going to be real, because I know I'm probably not the only one. I hope not. I'm not the only one believing for a spouse, but and you can't believe for a spouse if you're already married, but. But I said, Lord, when is this coming? Like, seriously, I've had words, you know, not that I haven't had opportunities, but they just haven't been the right one. I'm like, Lord, when is it going to happen? And he didn't answer. And probably about 2 weeks later, I was sitting in the front there, and I heard these words while Pastor was preaching. Yes, he was preaching. Do you see? Matters where you are. He was preaching, and I heard, your divine connection will come through your divine connection. And I knew immediately what it meant. Duh. That means as I'm busy doing the plan of God, as I'm busy being connected, rightly connected to my church, some way, somehow, it's going to happen. He's going to bring it. I don't have to go looking. I don't have to. He's going to find me. Hello. He's going to find me. He will find me. And I'm a good thing. Yeah. Thanks, Mary Chris. Yeah. And you know, he is going to get things to you that you need because you're rightly connected. Don't give up. Maybe you're believing God for healing. Don't give up. Whatever it is you're believing God for, don't give up. And guard yourself. Have the right attitude. Probably about 2 months before Pastor announced for Oasis, you know, the Lord showed me something in prayer. I was praying about this message. I was praying about divine connections, and I was just sitting there, and I was thanking the Lord for my pastors. You know, I remember it vividly, and I was saying, thank you, God, for Pastor Craig. Thank you for Pastor Jenny. Oh, my gosh, I love them. And he says, yeah, but your attitude sinks. Hold on, let me back up. He showed me a picture of Oasis, and it looked beautiful. It was lush, green, like the way Oasis looks, but just like picturesque, like a postcard. And I said, Lord, what is that? And he said, he didn't say anything. And then I saw another picture of Oasis, and it looked okay. Maybe mid-season, I don't know. It looked okay. And I said, Lord, what is that? He said, your attitude about Oasis stinks. I said, Lord, what are you talking about? It doesn't stink. I love Oasis. I love Oasis. I said, I've given. I've sown seed. I've booked a weekend there. Remember Domino's? I beat you, brother. I beat you. But I booked a weekend there. I've gone to help with the tear up, the tear down, whatever it is. I love Oasis. He said, no, you don't. He says, there have been times where your pastor has called and announced to go to Oasis, and you've had a bad attitude. I said, Lord, I don't have a bad attitude. And oh, he reminded me, and I didn't say it out loud, but I remember saying, I'm not driving 2 hours for a hamburger. That's what I thought in my head. I never said it to anybody. But he said, yeah, you've had a bad, your attitude stinks. And I remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, I did. And I can't eat. There's not even a bathroom. Where am I going to go to the bathroom if I need to go to the bathroom? Where am I going to park? Where are all these people going to park? And I was making excuses to God. That was a bad attitude. And he said, you say you love your pastor. You say you love the mantle and the vision. But he said, your attitude stinks. And I thought, oh, Lord, I repented. Now, remember, I told Pastor Craig, because I repented to Pastor Craig, and I said, whatever you do, I'm going to be there every time. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be there, because I don't want my attitude to stink. Amen. Like I said, it's easy to throw money. It's really easy. And he said to me, he said, the way you saw Oasis is the way it should look, but it looks like this right now. And he said, you're not the only one in the church who has thought this way. There's people who haven't even been up there, stepped foot onto the property. And he said, it matters. Your attitude matters. Yes. Amen. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about having the right attitude, guarding our attitude. And let me talk about, before we close, sorry, it just, the time went so fast, but I want to go back to offense. And, you know, that time where I went through, you know, where I was being buffeted and not really thinking about wanting to leave. At the same time, I didn't know, but at the same time, my pastor was praying for me. Thank God for pastors who pray for us. Do you know how much is averted in your life because your pastors are praying? Do you know how much Pastor Jenny prays? She prays for us all the time. Not just the leaders, everybody. Many things are averted in your life because she's praying. Because he's praying. May not be every day, but they are praying over the congregation in the spirit. And they, whatever God brings before them, they deal with it in the spirit. And I'm sure many of you might have testimonies of different things, but God uses our pastors for our lives. Amen. And one particular day, pastor said he was praying for me, and in the spirit, he saw something black. And this was the same time where that thing was happening to me where, you know, I was not thinking about leaving, but I was thinking about it because I was having offers, and these were offers of something that I'm no one called to do. These were offers for like things that I know that there's a call of God on my life, you know? And there's that possible temptation of taking one of those things. And he said, one day as he was praying, he saw something black coming up, and it reached to my nose. And it was dark, very, very dark. And the Lord said, there is a demon spirit trying to take her away from the church. And he says, you take authority over that. And he did. He prayed. And within a short time, that was it. That thing was averted. That offense had left. That threat of possibly leaving, of leaving my divine connection. Can you imagine if I left my divine connection? You know, that is your lifeline. Whether you realize it or not, your divine connection to your local church is your lifeline. You know, you think you might be getting away with things. You're not getting away with things. God sees everything. What people know, what people don't know, he sees everything. And he is working on you. Don't separate from your divine connection. Don't separate from your local church. These are flesh and blood. This is your local church. This is your family. You know, we're here for one another. We all might not be best friends, but we love each other. Like whenever I meet with some of the leaders or I meet, I leave that meeting, I'm like, oh, I just love those people. I love them. Like, I just love them. There's a fellowship. There's a bond. Like, I probably have an inside joke with a lot of you guys. Like, if I see you, I have a lot of inside jokes with people because I just love them. They're like, Sally, they're my family. I love them. I love them. I even love Barry. I know I love Barry. Like, you know, I love Barry. He's my buddy. You know, this is our local church. This is your lifeline. This is your divine connection. You are important. Amen. You matter.
That's right.
And whether you think it or not, your pastors see you.
That's right.
They love you. Do you know what I mean by they see you? They see you. Mm-hmm. They may not see you every week, but they see you. Yeah. They know you by the Spirit. Yeah. And they love you. They're praying for you. And they're running their race with you.
Hallelujah.
Not against you. Not against you. Run with them. Run this race with your pastor, with your local church. I'm telling you, it's great prosperity, it's increase, it's blessing, it's so much more for your life. Everything that you're believing God for, it's going to come to pass.
Amen.
It's just a matter of time.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, why don't you lead the people in prayer, a prayer of repentance, because That was, no, really, truly, that was exceptional. But just lead us in prayer over some of the things that we missed, because there's character issues, character things that we have to align with the Word.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we just take a moment. Lord, we just purpose in our heart from this moment on. Father, we repent if we've had a bad attitude. We repent if we haven't thought right against our pastors, against our brothers and sisters, our local church. Father, we are a family. And although just like a natural family, we love everybody in our family. And Father, we just take a moment and we just repent for anything that we need to repent for, Lord, that you would show us. Father, that you would tweak us, Lord. Father, we just take a moment to repent of any offense. Father, we let that go right now. Right now, Father, whether it be from our pastor or brother or sister in this church, if somebody has hurt us or offended it, Father, we let it roll off our back. It doesn't matter. In the light of things, it really doesn't matter. Father, we thank you for our pastors. We thank you for that office of the prophet, that office of the pastor, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that anointing that breaks the yoke on our lives, Lord, in our thinking, in our finances, in our children, in our relationships, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that anointing. We thank you, Lord, that where they are tonight, that they are being strengthened in their inner man. Father, that whatever they need is being imparted to them right now, Father. We thank you for them, Lord. We bless them, Lord. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful for our pastors. Thank God for our pastors. For many of us, just like my testimony, promise of life gave me back my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for our pastors. Thank you for this local church. Father, from today forward, we commit to run our race full with our pastors, to pray, to support, to give, to serve, whatever it is we're called, we're quick to obey and we're quick to do it in Jesus' name. We thank you for them, Lord. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Father. Bless their children, Lord. Bless their children, Lord. Bless their children. Bless their children, Lord. We call them blessed, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for them, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this church, Father. Thank you for this local church. We're so thankful, Father. Thank you, Lord. I wish I could name everybody by name, but I'm so thankful for each one here tonight. Lord, we just thank you for the word. I pray it went in. I pray it strengthened, it encouraged, Lord. And whatever we need to do from this day forward, we do it, Lord. We make that adjustment. In Jesus' name, amen.